Today's daf in Masechet Gittin in Baratu Mibin Chavot Yerushalayim is daf Lamed. I'm holding it the Halakha Mishnah. Continuing on with the question of when we can rely on a chazaka that someone is still alive is another few interesting cases, and that would be, suppose somebody wants to make a deal with a Kohen, a Levi, or an Ani who needs money. So what they do is they say, listen, I'm going to give you $10,000, and you don't have to pay me back. What I'm going to do is, let's see if it's a coin, all the truma from my field, I am basically going to give to you by taking off that amount of money from the loan, and then I'm going to sell it to Kohen. You know, whatever money I get, I'll keep. And that way, over the course of the next few years, you won't have to worry about your loan. And meanwhile, you've got your money up front. So basically, you're giving the Kohen the next year's truma up front, which is a great thing for Kohen, obviously. It means he doesn't have to worry about, you know, running around, getting his truma, and so on and so forth. Forget about the details. Tomorrow we'll get into the details. You could do the same thing. Sorry?
Truma futures.
Yeah, exactly what it is. And the same thing would be true if it's a Levi, you want to give him Miser. Or if it's an Ani, you want to give him the Miser Ani. Right? So it's a wonderful deal all around. We'll see that it, in fact, may involve a special Takanat Chachamim to allow this to happen. But whatever the mechanisms are, it's certainly a lovely thing for the poor people who are in need. But now the question is, if that person is not alive, then you don't have a right to be doing what you're doing. It would turn out that you're maybe stealing the truma. So do you have a right to assume that the person is still alive, right? Or when it comes to the case of the Ani, do you have a right to believe that the Ani is still an Ani? Maybe he got an inheritance, meanwhile, you know. And then you're giving Maaser Ani, you're stealing Maaser Ani from all the Ani, and keeping the Maaser Ani and taking it off of this guy's loan. So all of this is included, therefore, in the discussion that we just had about whether one can assume that one's Kohen husband is still alive and can eat truma and so on and so forth. All those issues that we were talking about, shlichus of a get, sending a carbon. So amalve ma'ot et ha-kohen, or et ha-levi in exchange for ma'aser rishon, or et ha-ani in exchange for futures on ma'aser ani, and he accepts liot ma'afrish aliyem be'chalkah. He's going to be marfish against this money from the chalak of the respective Kohen Levi Rani. He could continue to be marfish aleim becheskachin kayamim. He could continue to make the assumption that these people are alive, and he does not have to worry whether the Kohen or the Levi perhaps died in the interim. Certainly doesn't have to worry that maybe the Oni got rich in the interim. I mean, much more likely that he died, you know. As we'll see in the Gemara. Oh, Hashir Hani.
It's so sad.
Horrible. Yeah. Yep. So much for Gavi.
Because.
Yeah.
No hope.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. What are we going to talk about it? May too. If they do die, then you cannot continue. The end of it. If you know that they die, you cannot continue the arrangement unless you get the Yorshim's permission to continue this arrangement, because the Yorshim are not duty-bound to repay this loan, because there was no loan against Karka, and therefore there's no lien. So it's a question of the Yorshim wanting to continue this arrangement.
Even if he has a rich Yorshim?
Well, then obviously it won't work. Yeah. Now, if, however, you did this in front of a Beit Din, then that would have created a lien by the call of the Beit Din. There's other approaches to this, but the simplest approach. And therefore, it would have been a debt that was chal also on the Yorshim, and you would not have to take further rishus from the Yorshim. So even if you know that the original party died, you could continue the arrangement. Are we saying are we saying that Afal Gavdalo Otuli Yode? I don't understand. What do you mean? You can deduct the costs of the truma. You can deduct from the guy's loan. I mean, you were never Mekayim the mitzvah giving it to the Kohen. I understand. He has to first get into his rishus before he has a right to say, okay, now you can keep my money. I mean, they just deduct it from a loan. Where's the netinata truma? That's crazy. Oh, my Rav, well, this could work in a case of makarei kuhuna olavia. As we know, there's a concept called makarei kuhuna, which we have all over. And what that means is that where there's a long-term relationship between a particular field and a particular kohen who always gets the truma from this field, or a particular levi or ani and so on, then the other members of the shevet are basically the yayish from this money, and they figure, okay, fine, it's his. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's his. There's no competitors. And that's considered to be the equivalent of a netina that's automatically his. Shmuel says it doesn't have to be talking about makarei. It could be that the Mishnah is indeed taking for granted that there's a transference, legal transference of the truma, or the maaser, as the case may be, and you simply ask someone standing by, could you please be zocheh in this for so-and-so, which he can do, and you were mezakai, they are chayim, we have to talk it out. I mean, obviously, there needs to be an etina. So mezakai amai, they are chayim. Ula says a bigger chiddush, and he says, actually, the Mishnah could be referring to the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi will often apply the concept of asu et she'eino zocheh ki zocheh, that the chachamim oftentimes, when it's for the benefit, in this case it's very clearly for the benefit of all kohanim, all levim, all aniyim, for heaven's sakes, what a tremendous luxury that is to be able to get a loan up front for things that, you know, I mean, may be there, may not be there, and here they're being given their money as if, you know, it's guaranteed. It's an amazing thing. They get all their money up front at one time that they would never have a chance to get. So it's a takana for them. That type of a takana, the Chachomim utilize the Kayach of Efker, Bezdin Efker, and they will take each bit of Truma and be mezaket with the power of the courts to the kohen that it goes to the levy that it goes to. You don't have to go through any motions in order to be zocheh in it. Now, the reason that the other two shitas did not want to say, like Rav, that it's talking about makarei kuhuna olavia, is because, I mean, then the Mishnah would have to specify. I mean, it's a pretty important condition for this whole thing, you know, just, and it should have said that malvet, mod, kohen, vet, levi, vet, ani, b'makirim, and so on. We're just throwing one extra word so it's clear what you're talking about. The Mishnah makes it so obvious that, nah, you don't have to worry about, you know, whether you know the guy, you don't know the guy, you make a deal with the kohen. Now, it's very difficult to believe the Tana meant only makarei. Kishmuel lo kamre. I mean, so then say so. Say vizichalahen. I mean, so where does it say in the Mishnah anything about the requirement for being mizakeh? Now, therefore, the obvious solution is Rabbi Yossi. The only thing is that there were those who were willing to avoid saying that and to get into the unpleasantness of how come the Tana didn't say it, because they didn't want to say kulanami lo amri, because they didn't want to say the Mishnah was going like a yichida. So even though, as Tosis points out, Shmuel elsewhere paskins like this, of cases where also shena zocha kezocha, but that doesn't mean he'd want to say that the Mishnah is going like that das, even if he holds that das is true. La'alocha, Mishnah, generally, you try to work out according to the das of the rabbi.
Baruch ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, shakol nevin v'ra.
So the
Eino
Bola Olam, isn't
that
a problem here?
No, that doesn't matter. There won't be. So, fine.
And the money that he's getting?
Keep your money. It's my problem, not your problem. All I'm asking is for the right to pay the loan back. If I don't get the money to pay the loan back, you're in good shape anyway. You don't care. So it's great all around for the Kohen Levi and so on. Turn around on it. And now Bright expands on this. That amalgam out at a Kohen et a Levi et a Niliot Marfish Alehen, Michal Kan, he's Marfish Alehen b'cheskat Shehim Kayamim. So far, that's the Mishnah. Now, the Braita adds some interesting details. First of all, Poseki Mahem Kishar Hazol, he has a right to up front tell them, look, I am not going to be necessarily deducting the current price of wheat. In other words, maybe over the next month, it's going to be a bushel of wheat per dollar, you know? But, I mean, it's very possible that in mid-season, it's going to be 2 bushels of wheat per dollar. So if when I take off 2 bushels of wheat at that time, I'm going to subtract the value at the time. I'm not going to give you the current price in case the price falls. And furthermore, because you make these adjustments, there's no problem that Ein Bo Mishum Ribit, despite the fact that normally an agreement to pay according to Shahr HaZol is considered to be Ribit if you specify the Shahr HaZol in advance of the actual posting. They used to have a posting daily of the current price. So in other words, it would be basically like our commodity listings, which is up to date instantaneously because of trading computers. But in those days, they would get basically the same cents over the course of an hour, you know, and post it. But this is what it's going for, and this is the price, and that's it.
Every hour?
Every day, once a day. So that was the posting of the Shahr HaZol. So normally, if you are a very good trader, and you sense where things are going, and you make a deal with somebody, it's going to be al pi what you assume is going to be the Shahr HaZol of today. That is considered to be, if the money is paid in advance, that the guy is giving you a better deal because he wants the money now. And that is a problem of Ribit Rabbanan. In this case, it's not a problem even before the Shahr was Yotzi. We don't consider it to be a Ribit's problem, as we'll see. Ve'en shvi'it mishamatato. And in the event that it's a Shnat HaShmitah, it doesn't have any impact on this loan. Ve'im balak zor. And if he wants to change his mind, now it doesn't say clearly if who wants to change his mind. But we'll get into that later. If he wants to change his mind, he can't change his mind. And once nityashua ba'alim, if the owner sees that they've had a disastrous year, and this particular agreement was only for the year, let's say this over the course of the next year, and they say, oh, well, I guess there goes that loan, then there's no problem. Once nityashua ba'alim, and then even if there's some regrowth in that field during the course of the year and they end up making some money, they cannot continue to enforce the agreement once they are mityaesh, because ein mafrishin al ha'avud, a loan that has been lost legally, and that is yush, vayal chisaron kis, is not considered to be recoverable just because you didn't have enough imagination to figure out where it could be repaid from. Now let's go through those things step by step. Omar, poseik imahem kishar hazol. Well, I mean, I should hope so. Understand why? Because I made a deal today, and it happens to be that the price is a bushel per dollar. I'm mechuyev to treat your truma as a bushel per dollar during the whole year. I mean, even when it's 2 bushels for dollars, why would I think otherwise? Isn't that obvious, pshita? No, because akamash mangan. The chiddush is that afa pishalo pasak. What it's saying is that we take for granted that, of course, it means that I'm going to be paying you back according to price at the time. Okay, ve'ein bo mishum ribit. You're saying that there would be no issues, despite the fact that normally you have to wait until yitziat hashar. And if you make a deal, so here it's saying you can be poskim kashar hazol no matter what, which is mashma that today I take off my truma, it's early morning, I don't know what that is, you know, but I'm getting myself a good deal because I am up to date enough to be convinced that the price is going to be today, let's say, 2 bushels per dollar. Okay, so I pay off the loan at the rate of 2 bushels per dollar, and I take all of that and keep it myself and sell that truma for myself. Now, normally, taking that kind of step, as we said before the actual posting of the official market value, is considered to be ribit, and the guy says, okay, fine, it's worth it. You know, give me my money. Okay, so he's making a deal for you, allowing you to give him a price that hasn't yet been posted and that is lower than the current price because he wants the money now. That's what ribit is all about, right? So, okay. So even though normally that would be the case, there is no ribit in this case. Why? For the very simple reason that when the loan holder has no recourse to collecting a loan, you can't possibly call it ribit when he does collect the loan. Let's say that he wouldn't get anything this year. Let's say it was a drought and he got no returns from truma this year. He can't go to the guy and say, well, I'm really sorry, but there was no truma, you'll have to pay me back the loan. You won't have to pay him back the loan. The deal was the loan is meant to be paid back by truma. So you can't take a loan that's not recoverable and then claim it was ribit when you use the truma to pay it back. to whatever deal is being made, the Rabbanim are not going to extend rebit into a case where you may not get a penny back anyway. So that's silly.
About that year.
No, assuming that we're talking about that year.
If it's not going to work,
if it means I'll always be able to pay it back, then maybe I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that would mean exactly. Always, you know. I mean, maybe nishtat for sadeh. I mean, it would have to be a very specific case where even if nishtat of sadeh will come from another field, I'd have to think if it's possible that it should be any other way. Offhand, I can't think of a possibility. Ein shvit b'shamata tov, and for the same reason, it doesn't matter if it's shmitah, because remember, the only issue in shmitah is lo yigos et re'eyu. You can't take a loan and put a guy into a position of being under pressure to pay back a loan. Pressure to pay back a loan? I can't get the money back anyway. If any, he is not under any pressure. In which case, this is not the type of loan that the Torah told you. That shvi is no gea. There is no lead. There's no lo yigos at any time. V'im ba lachzor eno chozer. And if he wants to change his mind, he can't change his mind. Who? Amar of Papa. No, what it means is the Baal HaBayit cannot change his mind against the Kohen. Tell the Kohen, you know what, it's a bad deal for me. I want my money back. Tough. You gave me the money. Why am I mechuyev to give you the money back? You gave me the money with the understanding that I don't have to give you the money back and you have to pay yourself back. So you can change your mind all your life, but you can't be mechuyev me to give you back the money.
Is there a signed contract?
No. There's money.
It's all verbal.
Yeah. Here's the money. I mean, of course, as the Mishnah said, if it's in front of Bez, then it becomes the equivalent of a contract. But we're talking about the simple case, right? So, but the Kohen can change his mind to the Baal HaBayit. Why? Because there was no Mashiach. In other words, in what sense do you own my truma? You paid for my truma. But money is not payment in terms of kinyanim, because the Rabbanim made a takonim requiring Mashiach. Where's the Mashiach? I changed my mind, like any other sale. I'm selling you my truma? Fine. I changed my mind. So im balach zarchozer, it's not. Natam lo ma'ot, v'lo ma'shachim en operot, yocholach zarpo, and this is no different than any case. Nit Yashua ba'alim, once the ba'alim say, v'ay l'chizaron kisay v'avoyesh, never made that loan, so then they cannot collect. And ein ma'frishin alayim, l'fisha ein ma'frishin al ha'avud. Well, I mean, obviously. And the guy was mevater on the loan. I mean, why is it different than any mechila, mshita? No, you don't understand. It's talking about over here, even in a case, lotzricha da'akun. It's talking about, you know, I'm sure you've seen cases where there's impact of drought, or you don't water your plants, let's say, for a month, you know. Come back home, it's a disaster. There's a few small parts that start regrowing when you water. So then it isn't completely dead. So then you're assuming that, you know, there's a chance that things are going to come back to life. You'll get something out of it. So we're talking about where it's a hakum, in which case we are assuming that when the guy said vi, you know, so maybe what he meant was, ugh, you know, what am I going to get out of this already? But it wasn't a real yush, that he's not going to get anything. So Lamaisa, if it does grow back and he gets 20% of what he normally got, he would be able to apply that to his loan, kamashmalan, that's not true. Once a person expresses yush on the loan, matatema aknatas milti, and that cancels the yush, as if he still has his field, kamashmalan, it is a yush. Tanya. Loshen akana, that you still have something on the stock. Something is bursting up on the stock.
So it's
and
like
generally, yeah, and generally that will grow into some usable wheat, even though it's lost a lot of the parts, just fell off the early seeds.
His original yeush was the yeush getting paid back the loan because
he won't get truma.
Because
it's only happened to the field. Yeah. Okay. Tanya Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Umer. Ha-malve mo be-beitin. Now, just again to expand on the dinim in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah made the difference between bifnei beitin and atzerch litol reshut b'nai yorshim. That was the difference. So here the Braita says that Amal v'ma'ot et ha-kohen v'et ha-levi b'beit din, and they died. So then you do not have to work out who the Yorshim are either. It's not that you don't need to ask Rishus from the Yorshim. You don't need to know anything about it. The entire Shevet Kohen, or Shevet Leviah, are Yorshim. Basically, there's somebody that is a yorish from the Mishpachat Av somewhere, and therefore they have a right to truma. So whoever they are, I don't care. I'm going to keep taking the truma, because this guy's truma is basically the guy's loan, whatever it went to somebody who I can keep paying back. So therefore you can be mafresh in terms of the shevet. If you gave loan to an oni bebeitin, and the oni dies, you can be mafresh alav v'cheskat aniye Yisrael. It doesn't have to be. What's that? You can't say yorshim, because you don't know that the yorshim aren't rich. I mean, I thought yorshim are generally rich, no? So if they have yorshim, so then fine, those yorshim may indeed be rich. But you do not have to worry about the question of whether this personal guy has yorshim, because that's part of the original understanding of the loan. And this goes back to the others as well, except we don't see it as strongly. And that is that being as this is a takona, all members of the set, whether that set is the set of Aniyim or the set of Kohanim, all members of the set have given over their particular rights, and this is what the Beis Din has achieved with this takona, in order that it should be available to all other members and themselves, if necessary, to be able to take loans of this type. Which means that even though the mice of this guy's personal yorshim indeed may be rich, but I understand that the set of Aniyim are very happy with this arrangement and are willing to give up in the particular case where this guy wouldn't anymore have his rights, that this person who was kind enough to lend money to Aniyim should not be left in a position where he can't recollect his loan. Because we want people to lend money to Aniyim. And therefore, it's understood that something that is done for the public benefit indeed sometimes is not all that beneficial in a particular case, but overall is a takana that is necessary, and because of that, it was understood that this is not considered to be gzeilat aniyim. Rev Achai Omer, you know what? You don't have to even be mafresh b'cheskat aniye Yisrael. You can be mafresh b'cheskat aniye olam. What does that mean? My Ben Arsin, what are they arguing with? What do you mean, Aniye? We're giving this to the Catholic seminary. And I said, what are Aniye Olam?
When, once again,
My Ben Ayu? Yeah, you know, like, just buy some UNICEF Christmas cards. You know? It's all good for the children. You know? It's unbelievable, filthy. You know? Anyway, so Ike Ben Ayu, Aniye Kutim. The question is what you hold the din is before the Gezerah, that they have a din of Akum. So the question is whether they have a din of Geirei Emet still. We had that famous question, the Geirei Emet or the Geirei Arayot. So the question is, over here, if there are no Aniye Yisrael in this particular city, do you give this Aldat Aniye Akum, Kutim, because they're considered to be Yisrael, or do you give it Al Shem Aniye Yisrael in general, in other cities?
We're talking about Kutim here and not just censorship.
No. This is real Kutim, because that's the Machlokas.
What are Kutim in regards to Israel? Kutim
are the Shomronim, that the Sancheiriv replaced indigenous population with population that came in, and they were attacked by lions. Yeah.
Not from Detroit.
And because of that, they figured, you know, they better learn how to live in the land of Israel correctly, you know. So they started to keep mitzvahs, but the question was whether that was a real Geirut or it's just called lion Geirut.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. All right, but this is a side point, right? Now, how about if the Oni gets rich? Ashir Ha'ani, if the Oni gets rich, so then you can't be mafresh against him, mafresh alav. And at that point, Zacha ala b'masha b'yado, you know. But the lova, you know, that's his benefit, you know, because he keeps whatever he was given. I mean, he doesn't have to give it back just because he got rich. You know, you'd think he'd have a little common decency, but he's not legally required.
It's now, really,
the question is, why don't we make that same takoda for he'eshira ani as if mita ani? So the Rabbanan, how come for mita they made a takona that you're able to collect from the aniyeh yir aniyeh ha'olam, but if the ani gets rich, then you're out your money. Umayshna la'ashirut lo avatakanta. Well, because death is all over the place, but whoever gets rich. So we're not going to make a takana for something that never happens.
It's going to win that billion dollar
lottery. Stay up all night around the block. These people are unbelievable people. Literally all around the block because they have a chance at $1 billion. amazing country, this America. Absolutely amazing.
I'm not an American citizen.
Canadians are going back.
I think Canadians are traveling from Winnipeg.
Edmonton would be free.
Yeah,
but they won't tell us what the numbers are.
No, yeah, just imagine how much money you're going to get out of it.
They love that.
Oh my God, amazing. Anyway, so mitah shchicha, but we don't mean to be cynical. But ashirut is lo shchicha. Amar of Papa, you know that's the common saying. People say if somebody tells you your best friend is dead, believe it. Your best friend made a killing. Forget it. Yep. But your friend itasher? No. Lo tasher. It never happens. No. Mate, continues the Mishnah. Mate tzarich litol rishut. So, if he dies, then you'd have to get rishut from the yorshim. Says Rebbe, well, when we say yorshim, we mean yorshim that inherited. I should hope so. Are there Yorshim that don't inherit? What is that supposed to mean, Rebbe? Miika Yorshim de lo yarte. Ela amar Rebbe Yochur. What Rebbe meant to say is lo shanu ela Yorshim sheyorshu karka. Point over here is that if there is karka, then you can have indeed Yorshim that litorch litorshus min hayorshim. But lo sheyorshu ksafim. Now, there's two very, very different ways of understanding this. It could be going back on that part, litol rishut min hayorshim, or it could be going on the part of ein tzarich litol rishut min hayorshim, right? Because the question is like this. If there is a Yerusha that doesn't have any karka, then there's no mitzvah on the yorshim to be poreach ovavim. In other words, are we talking about over here the last part of the Mishnah when the Bezdin created a lien and he's saying that lien would only be on Karka? Are we going back on the first part of the Mishnah that says you would need Rishus ben Yorshim and the Yorshim cannot arbitrarily give you Rishus because it ain't their money? I mean, if Lamaisa, they may be Yorshim of this, but then where would they get the right for you to use your truma to pay back money that they were yoresh? What does that have to do with it? So if there was a mitzvah then to be poreya the chov aviyem, you could say that in exchange for that the mitzvah gives them, they have a right to be mevater on the truma. But if they don't have anything to mevater on the truma with, so then how in the world would they even be able to give you that right? So that is a machlokas rishonim, what we're referring to over here, whether we're referring to the part of the Mishnah, which is imil vabifnei beitin ain't tzarich lito, mashein kein, where the Reisha said, mate tzarich lito min ha-yorshim. So Tosfos holds it can't be referring to that part, because if they weren't yorish, kol shekein, you would have to ask them rishus, because then they don't have a chov. In other words, it certainly doesn't occur to us as Tosfos that you would be, having given money to the kahuna, that you wouldn't be able to get it back. The only question is, would you have to have kohanim saying to you that it's okay to give it? But definitely they could say it's okay to give it. They say there's two very different ways of understanding this. So Rebbe is saying that it's talking about, says Rebbe Yochanan, that they were yorish karka. If they were yorish kisafim are generic and bear no relationship to the morish, and therefore it's not mechayev them to repay, even as a mitzvah, kriyat bal chov, the chov of their fathers, or will not allow a lien of bezdin, if it's going on the seifa, will not allow a lien of bezdin on a bank account. There's no such thing as a lien on a bank account, because a bank account isn't anything. It's metaltalin. It needs to be a lien on recoverable property. Omar Rabbi Yonatan, aval, If it's any amount of karka, you could collect that amount of karka. So even if it's 5 cents worth of karka, left him a lay machat, you could still collect that 5 cents. If you gave him a low kardom, so it's 10 cents, you could collect him a low kardom. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you missed the whole point. If you have 5 cents worth of karka, you collect the whole darn thing because of that 5 cents. Now, filu niyak melo machat gove melo kardom. And this is exactly the case of the ketina d'abaye. Abaye paskin for a case where somebody was very smart. The person they had lent money to died, and the Yerusha was a tiny plot, a garden plot, that was worth $50, let's say, against a $100 loan. So he really was only able to recover his $50. Okay, so he went and recovered his $50. Now, the Yorshim wanted very much to own that plot that their father had left them, so the Yorshim came and they paid him the $50 to return it, which he did, and promptly recollected it for the other $50. Because the lien is still on there for $100. So basically, that's how this works. There's 5 cents worth of property, fine. So then, that's what I keep doing. I exchange my 5 cents worth of truma, recollect the property, take another 5 cents of truma, and we keep doing this, essentially, till I collect the whole thing by giving back the loan. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's no different than that case. If there's a lien on that 5 cents worth of property, then you can collect whatever it was that the outstanding loan was for. Tana Rabbana, Yisrael she'amar le'levi. How about if Yisrael tells a Levi, you should know that ma'aser yesh lecha biyadi, there is some ma'aser I have in my rishus that is yours. Ein choshishin le'trumat ma'aser shabo. You don't have to worry about trumat ma'aser, which makes no sense. And going, what the heck is it talking about? But if he says, I've got a kur ma'aser yesh lecha biyadi, then you do have to worry about Trumat Maaser Shabo. What? Michael, what is he talking about? The case must be this. Yisrael goes over to a Levi and he says, you know, I've taken off a bunch of Maaser that I intend to give to you and I just want to keep it, so let me pay you for it. Take the money. You do not have to be choshesh that maybe that Levi took the miser also and made a trumas miser for another place because he doesn't know how much it is. But if he says kur maser yesh lecha biyadi, and here's the money for your kur maser, then you have to be choshesh that since he knows precisely how much maser there is and he happens to own a coin for Trumat Maaser on his own fields, he owes him this kur, so he says, oh, that's great. Here's the kur, I'll make that Trumat Maaser, and while I'm at it, you know, I'll take the money too. What? What's going on with the British? She asked Kenneth, are you crazy? Because a guy's going to take money, not really sell it, give it to a coin. You're telling me we don't have to worry that. I mean, obviously, what we're talking about the mafia, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't get the case exactly.
I have money in my rishos, which is miser. And I'm supposed to give it to the Levi. So I tell the Levi, you know, I've got 3 bushels of miser in my rishos. Would you sell it to me? Levi thinks to himself, perfect. Trumas Meiser. Yes, of course I'll sell it to you.
After it's already not his.
Right, it's Trumas Meiser.
He's already made it Trumas Meiser.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Obviously, I mean, that's mafia. The guy says, Stamaganov, I mean, I need to tell you, Bershias, you
know,
what we're talking about, people are Rishayim who take money and they make it Trumas Meiser. That's ridiculous. That can't be what it means, come on. I'll tell you what it means. It means like this. Yisrael comes over to Ben Levi. So he says, you should know that Maaser la'avicha biyadi heilech damav. Now there was Maaser that was supposed to be given to your father who died, you know. So instead of my returning it to you, I'll just pay you for it. Then you don't have to be choshesh that the father before he died had made it trumat Maaser. But if he says how much maaser, so then the father could indeed have already utilized it before his death. And if he had told him, Kurma Aser Lavecha Biyadi, and here's the money, you cannot assume that it is true, that it is not Trumat Maaser. You have to be Chershesh that maybe that man, before he died, the guy's father, had made a Trumat Maaser al Mokom Acher. Well, why are we afraid of such a thing? I mean, I'm assuming the discussion over here is referring to Chaverim, which is normally the meaning of all of these Mishnayos, unless you specify Tangan Amaret. So, of course, he didn't make a Trumat Maaser al Mokom Acher, because that would have meant that he was Torim Shalom and Amukav. It wasn't in his Rishos. And he took off Trumat Maaser from somewhere else for the money that he owed the Kohen. A Chaver doesn't do that. That's one of the rules. You only do it when it's next to it, you can see it, and you take it off on the spot. So how? I mean, it's a violation of Din of Chaverut. We're chayshish for a violation. What? At this point, only a Levi could take off Trumat Maaser. Who else? Well, if he doesn't know, he can't. That's what we're saying. If he doesn't know how much, so he couldn't possibly have done it because you have to take off the shear. So that doesn't make sense either. Let's try again. Ella Amr Vashi, I got an idea. He could work like this. Ben Levi comes to a Levi, and he says, as Yisrael, rather, comes to a Levi, and he says, my father, before he died, said that he owes you Miser, right? Or he owes your father Miser. He doesn't say how much. So if he says how much, so then what it's saying is that if it's that amount, it's an akoshin a trumat maaser shabo. If he didn't say how much, then even though the father was a big chover, he could not have taken off trumat maaser himself, and therefore you'd have to worry about the need to take off trumat maaser. Because given the low kids, because of the fact that he did not define how much, he didn't know how much, so the Baal HaBayit, who was the Yisrael, would not have been mitakein the Trumat Maaser. Now, this is obviously making the assumption that the Baal HaBayit and not the Levi would have been mitakein the Trumat Maaser, which we'll ask about in a moment. But he couldn't have, despite the fact that he's a chover, and a chover will never die without first putting out his latest album, which would mean he had to have taken out his Trumat Maaser before he died, right? In this case, he could not have, because it wasn't kitz. So therefore, it would be no pagam in his chaverut. But if he said, kur maaser lecha biyadi, or kur maaser la'avicha biyadi, then for sure it's all kosher. And ein kosher shin l'trumat maaser shabo, because this guy, how would he possibly have died without taking out the Trumat Maaser? Because given the kitz, takune takne ba'al
habayit. So without the kitz, the problem is that it's Trumat Maaser and Maaser Gula. Is that what you're saying? I mean, like,
it's mukhuy, like it's mukhuyav, yeah, it's tevel. It's mukhuyav and Trumat Maaser. Wait a minute. You're saying that the ba'al habayit is the one that can take off the Trumat Maaser? The Chieshel Rishut even to a Baal HaBayit to be turned Trumat Maaser. I understand he's a chaver and he wants all of his stuff to be A-OK and so on, but how does he have the Rishut's Bechlal? It's not his. Didn't he have to give it to the Levi first? And then the Levi was able to be metaken it. Says the Gemara, surprisingly the answer to that question is in. He does in fact have the ability to take off Trumat Maaser even before it goes to the Levi, as Abba Elazar ben Gamla explained. And it's going according to Abba Elazar ben Gamla, the Tanya. Abba Elazar ben Gamla Omer, the Pasuk says, V'nechshav lachem trumatchem tekedagan menagon uchim le'am menayakev. Now, trumatchem is a reference to shtei trumot akatuv medaber. It's talking to the Levim, and it says that your truma, meaning your trumat maser, will be the equivalent of the truma gedola, which comes from the yakev and from the dagan. That will be the equivalent of Yisrael's initial dagan, right? So it's saying that the Levim's truma gedola is meant to be compared to Yisrael's truma gedola. In other words, the truma's maser to the Levi is the equivalent of, the simple meaning, is the equivalent of Truma Gdola to Yisrael. It's all the same dinim. It's considered to be righteous. A Zaro eats it as high of Misa. You pay back a Chomesh, etc., etc. All the same dinim. But meanwhile, I mean, it's putting together Trumotechem as if the two of them are the equivalent. And therefore, it teaches me some very important chidush. So it's saying, whether we're talking about Truma Gdola, Acha Truma Gdola, or whether we're talking about Trumat Maaser, they have all the same dinim, vis-a-vis the Hafrasha as well, not only in terms of their din. And therefore, Tishem, Shetrumat Gdola Nitelet Ba'omed, Ubemachshava, in the same way that I have a right to take off Trumat Gdola Be'erech, right? So I'm saying, obviously, if the Chachomi made a shir of Echad Mechamishim, or I want to give Echad Mechishim, I mean, if I make a mistake, it really isn't going to matter very much because, you know, I could give one tiny chita bipoteret takri kulo. Okay, so if I'm doing my best, you know, this looks like 150th numela, so maybe it was really 160th. I mean, it makes no difference. That's ba'omen. And I can do it b'makshava as well. I can also, I don't even have to necessarily say it. I don't have to take it out. I could just say, truma gedola b'tzat zofen, you know? Oh, this part, this area. So too Trumat Maaser, despite the fact that it has a very specific amount, 1/10 of a 10th, that doesn't mean that you sit around and measure it out with actual measuring. It means that you take off approximately the 1/100th, and therefore you could take it off both Ba'omed and Ba'machshavah. You don't have to actually lift it up, and you could say it's on this part. Uch Hashem, and here's the part that's logia us. Uch Hashem, sheyesh lo reshut lo ba'al habayit litrom truma gedola, kach yesh reshut lo ba'al habayit litrom trumat maser. And what it's saying is that the right to be metaken de peirot does not require the giving of the maser first, but rather the ba'al habayit himself can actually separate it. How can you exchange it if you didn't give the truma yet? You don't even need any of that. Let's analyze that. Well, isn't that obvious? I mean, why should I pay a higher price for my chita? Pshita. No, kamashman hafa gav shalot pasak, it's taken for granted, kamisha pasak dom. Even though you're paying kishar hazol before posting, my time, because kiman dechilat lay lo yayv lay at all, so kiitla you can't call that ribid. Nami ain't bo mishum ribid. Ve'in shviid mishamatato the lo karina be lo yigoset reyim. Ve'im balach hazor no chozer. Amar of Papa. That means the balabayit can't change his mind on the kohen. But the Kohen can't change his mind on the Balabayit in Balach Zor Chozer. That's not. And that's exactly the case here. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, in the case, second case of the Mishnah about Beit Din. So there, Amal Vemaot at a Kohen, Betalevi Beit Din. Umeitu. Mafrishalim becheskat oto hasheve. And et ani bebeitin, umeit, mafrishalim becheskat ani yisrael. Even though it's not really yorshim sheve, but it's a set. And it's a takana. Ravach, lamer becheskat ani yeolam. It's really a different. Yeah, it could be now ani kutim. You first go to your local city, or do you just expand into ani yisrael? How about if he'ashir ani, then ein mafrish alav, and the guy keeps his money. Zachal u'mashu b'yadav. How come? Rabbanu ma'ishan l'mitad avatakanta u'ma'ishan l'ashirut lo avatakanta? Because mita shchicha, ashirut lo shchicha. Omer of Papa, I need amrin shechavercha mit asher. Eat asher? Don't believe it for a minute. Lo ta'asher. Meit, tzorich litor reshut, tanya. Rabbi Omer, yorshim shi yorshu. I should hope so. Mika yorshim to lo yorshu? Elam Rabbi Yochanan, he means yorshim shi yorshu karka. Lo shi yorshu ksafim. Om Rabbi Yonatan, iniach melo machat, you can only go over that amount. You go over melo machat, melo kardon. Go over melo kardon, Rabbi Yochanan, makes no difference. Afilu iniach melo machat, you can go over whatever, melo kardon or whatever. Ucha maaset de ketin to da baye. Tan Rabbani, Yisro shamar le levi, maaser yesh lecha biyadi. Ein chush ushin le trumat maaser shabbat. But if you say, kur maaser yesh lecha biyadi, then you are chush le trumat maaser shabbat. My kamar. Om Rabbi Yochanan, kamar. I would like to pay you for it. It's a halach. But if you tell him the amount, then the guy may be screwing you in both directions. What? What are she asking? I understand. But there's a chashat, the shakli, dummy, umashvi, that's outrageous. El Amr of Mishar Shibre, the Ravidi, no, of course not. It's Yisrael Shomer Leven Levi, Maser La Avicha Biyadi. Helech Dama. So in Kershim, maybe his father, before he died, had made a Trumat Maser Makom Acher, but if it was a specific amount, like Kur Maser La Avicha Biyadi, Helech Dama, then it's big problems, because Choshishin, Shema, the father, before he died, without the knowledge of the slave, so Aviv, Trumat Maser Makom Acher. How could you be chashish that? V'chidach sheduch haverim l'troim shalom en amukav. This case doesn't work out any better. El amar vashi yalki kama. Ben Yisrael shomar levi. Kach amar li my abba. Maaser lecha biyadi o maaser l'avicha biyadi. So then we're chashish that his deceased father is unable to be metaken the trumat maaser before he died. And chashishin a trumat maaser shepo. Because give it a low kids. Lo havim etakin le'ba'al habayit. But if he tells the Levi, kur ma'aser yesh lecha biyadi, or kur ma'aser l'avich biyadi, so then ein choshin etrumat ma'aser shabo, because kivan the kids to kun etakin le'ba'al habayit. What? I thought, doesn't the Levi have to do that? V'chi yesh lo reshut le'ba'al habayit, l'tro trumat ma'aser on the ma'aser that's not his? Yeah. And it's going like Abba Elazar ben Gamla. The Tanya, Abba Elazar ben Gamla omer, ונחשב לכם תרומתכם בשתי תשובות הכתוב מדבר אחת תרומה גדולה ואחת תרומת מעשר זו כשם כשתרומה גדולה ניטלת בעומד ובמחשבה כך תרומת מעשר ניטלת בעומד ובמחשבה וכשם שיש לרשות לבעל הבית לתרום תרומה גדולה כך יש לרשות לבעל הבית לתרום תרומת מעשר